sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am Johnny, and we're in our new studio homes.
Yeah.
For those listening
at home.
Which is a visual joke.
Yeah, for those listening at home.
We found out we could change the backgrounds. Yeah.
Riverside's moving up. They have visual effects now. So we're comfortably resting in my gamer streaming home, and John is in his...
study.
Relaxed in his study. A lot of anime on his books back there.
I like how these are dressed too, because it's awful. Yeah. It's not very good. This might be somebody, like, if you see on just above the top little right panel of books on my head, that they just threw in a bunch of fucking books, and then there's like a wadded up piece of paper in the right corner. You see that? Like right here?
Oh, yeah.
And then they threw a bunch of books like right here.
That's good, though. The top shelf.
You can see the where they put the placement pins. And then these are all the same book, I'm guessing, right behind me. Yep.
It continues for on your next row, the same book, by the way.
I think they were banking on the person being right in front of the camera.
Those books are the ones I thought were for sure anime, because they have like the white bordered comic book, slight, small stature.
Look at this. This is my perfume.
It is. That's your perfume.
And this is my my elephant book, you just, bookend. There you go, and that's coffee our podcast mug for this week. Tune in next week when we describe Rolando's background.
Gamer house over here.
Twitch streamer.
Twitch streamer over here. And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Baghead. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. Mm-hmm. But first we go back to TV Corner. We're finally watching a show people may know, have heard of.
Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets. Season 1. We're revisiting it. No, we're doing Chucky, Season 1, Episode 1, titled Death by Misadventure.
And I was going to ask, if there's another TV show that you want us to review, why don't you go ahead and go to the Skeleton Boys Instagram? And Rolando volunteered to make a bunch of polls that were officially going to be calling the Rollies Polies. So.
Bravo, Josh. Bravo. You finally got my punt name into a pun.
So look out for Rollies Polies.
I think we can make that happen. It's actually growing on me now.
The thought was like all balled up, and now it's unfurling and you know, collecting its legs and crawling away.
Now you're burning it with your magnifying glasses.
No, I'm like flicking them so they keep turning into balls.
What are these things called? Are they called roly polies?
Well, we call them roly polies in the South, but they're called pill bugs up north, and then they have like an actual scientific name.
Yes, I remember having this conversation with you. You had a friend who called them pill bugs or something, right? I'm assuming he's from the Midwest. They do a lot of pills. Midwest, it's pill country down over there.
I mean, I think it's just officially called a pill bug, or the Oh, this is fun for us. An armadillo today. Armadillo today. It's a form of wood lice, and it is closer to a crustacean group, like isopods.
That makes sense. Yeah.
They look kind of fishy, don't they?
Yeah.
That's our review of
Chucky.
Lisa Frankenstein.
All right. I'm assuming that you are a bigger fan of Chucky than me. Am I correct in that assertion?
I like spooky dolls, yeah.
Yeah, you're the doll guy. I guess. Because I honestly was thinking back, and for sure I've seen the first one. That's my first thought. It was like, okay, I've seen the first one. I remember I was a little older when Bride of Chucky came out, so I did see that as well. But for the life of me, I could not explain the plot of 2, 3, or any of the subsequent sequels of any of this series. I'm assuming you're more of a fan than me in that regard.
Oh, probably. I have seen all of them, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen all of them, including the reboot. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm not even sure I have. I don't know. I'm assuming I have, but like, it's just the first one is, I think, like the one that's most iconic in my mind. So
the one with what's his name is also in it. Fright Night guy, the king bad guy from Princess Bride.
Okay. Yeah. The guy from
He was.
I don't know the actor's name.
He was famously married to.
We looked this up last time.
Susan Sarandon.
Yes, something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, his name is Chris Sarandon, and I think Susan Sarandon just kept the last name.
Oh. Interesting.
So he's in the first Chucky. He's the voice of Jack Skellington, as I had mentioned before. Which Rolando does not think is an important detail, so let that settle everybody.
So Chucky had this TV show, and my first thought was, I think when this was going to air, I was thinking, well, this premise does suit the, could suit a TV show. If done right, and I think the original creator is also involved. He's kind of been the one spearheading these shows. So, if they could blend the like cheesiness of the latest iterations of the movies before the reboot and some of the scares or whatever of the first one, and then maybe that meme of the Spanish speaking Chucky was really good too. I thought the show had potential, but never watched it because I think it kind of started and then we
just kind of moved on. I think we were in the October 2021.
We're like a year in at this point.
Yeah, I guess we had already started TV Corner.
I think we were still bouncing around. We were like at that point. We were still kind of
So if we weren't doing From or Yellow Jackets, we would have been doing Chapel Wait, which is a waste of time.
I don't know, man.
Or what was the other one we did?
Oh, we've done so many waste of time shows. What are you talking about?
I mean, none of them
could
be
something to fill this segment.
Blood Red, I mean. Well, anyway.
Anyways, John, what did you think of Chucky?
So with all that said, because I know it sounds like we're just deflecting to take up time. I enjoyed the shit out of it. I'm excited to watch more of it. I like really had a good time.
Yeah.
It's really Same. Fun. They're not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's like the wheel was already rolling for like 3-4 decades now or whatever. When did the first movie come out? Like 3 decades now. Almost 4 decades.
Yeah. Like mid-80s, right?
I want to say,
mid to late 80s.
which I think in the grand scheme of things, the guy that the creator had to have been in his like late 20s when he created the show or created Child's Play.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive. What a legacy.
Don Mancini.
So with that said, yeah, it's just great. This in this world, you know, it's very modern day. People's sexuality aren't the focal point of the show, but Chucky comes right in at the end, starts talking, and then he's just being blatantly kind of homophobic, but he's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I think he says something like that. He's like, I mean, well, whatever you do is your thing. I don't care. Like, all right.
Chucky is a partner of the LGBT community.
The first part of the movie's okay, right? He finds this, like, oh, you wanted a vintage doll? And he's like, no, it's called retro, which I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me. But
so that's actually true.
Really?
Yeah. Retro is something. So how do you explain this? This got explained to me because video games, they call them the wrong thing when they say they're actually not retro games. They're vintage games. When they try to copy the way they the same sort of like pixel,
oh, 2D yeah, yeah.
art sprites bit, and stuff like that, yeah. Those are actually vintage because they're copies of it. So even though there's a whole culture of like retro gaming, but it's not really retro, it's vintage gaming. So there is a distinction, and the way he was using it technically is correct. Please look it up. I saw you pick up your phone. So yeah. Please look it up, the distinction, so we can kind of get...
Because I have to shop for furniture all the time, and, you know, it's vintage furniture. It's not retro furniture.
It's,
you know,
yeah. So. Yeah.
But I'm curious, yeah. Because it might be a thing in the collectible world. I don't know.
It is, yeah. It's like a way to distinguish them.
Vintage items are at least 20 years old and bring back a feeling of nostalgia. Retro items are... newer items that invoke styles of times past but do not actually come from a different time era.
Yes. So yeah.
So when games are recreated to be 8-bit, they are retro games, not vintage. Because the vintage... Yes. Okay. So the
old games, like Mario Brothers, you wouldn't call that a retro game. It's a vintage game. Like if you were to... So people that play... Yes. Yeah. The people that play the, like, whatever, this... old NES games, those are they're vintage games, not retro.
Well, I wonder if you go to like an arcade and it's just a bunch of games that they've uploaded onto like a program, right? You know, like, and put it into the big box. Is that considered retro gaming? Because they're not the actual vintage games.
Well, they're just emulations. Yeah. So technically they're just...
So it is retro?
So it is retro. Yeah.
We're just asking the hard-hitting questions out here.
Yeah, I know. We're not paying attention at all to this show.
So, like, the way the kid presented it, though, he's like, you collect, like, vintage dolls? And he's like, no, it's a retro doll. I was like, what's the difference? And he's like, oh, about, like, $20 or whatever. I didn't get what that joke meant. I think it's supposed to be an actual vintage doll, right?
I think because it's still relatively new? Considering it's like what, 20 plus years?
Yes.
No. Yes.
But if it's a good guy doll, then it would have been from that era, right? From the 80s. So it's at least 30 something years old.
Right. Maybe he was just trying to cheat his neighbor.
Probably, yeah.
Kind of places.
And I think I can confirm that it has to be
a recreation.
At least, or at least as old as... Well, because he got it from, like, a neighbor that just had that collected, right?
Right.
We also don't know where the dog came from yet. I don't think...
Where I was going to go. Yeah. Because we don't know... We were talking a little off-air about, like, the last thing we saw was him maybe being destroyed or something, blown up, right?
Yeah. So
we don't know how, you know, whatever, the serial killer got into this doll, which is why I think they're making that point, that it's not the same doll. We don't know yet, because all we saw was just that he looked up basically the first movie. He saw the kid and we saw the doll. It was like that's supposed to be the same doll, but we don't know this is the same doll the kid had yet.
That's
so true. There's hints that
there's also
the kid
that,
is
that movie you didn't see. There was like a big reveal midway through the movie where Chucky had recast the outside of his form to be like a newer doll. And then when that got fucked up, he just like ripped it off and revealed that he still looked the same fucked up Chucky, all stitched up or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Oh, he can also do the spell though. He continuously kept doing the spell to get into like a different body.
Okay. So yeah. So there definitely are, just by only this episode, we can assume this is like following at least the first three movies.
At least. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The very least. And this is kind of like continuation. And I'll also agree to that. I actually really like the show. I thought it felt like Chucky, you know. It's a nice blend of, you know, horror moments, suspense, but it also had like fun, goofy, you know, like kind of like silliness, little comedy bits to it as well. So
it's very like sitcom-y too, right? Like, I don't know, sitcom's not the right word, but retro. No, it's very,
I think it's more vintage. It's vintage.
Because they have like very distinctive, like, okay, the popular girl is like an extreme bully. And then her boyfriend, who is the main kid's cousin, who's clearly gay.
yeah.
Is having like, you know, a conflict of interest in his head about whether he should continue to bully his cousin or not.
Right. I'm glad they're making a point to like add those elements in. Like clearly, like there's a lot of like he's the main character is clearly gay.
Yeah.
And possibly his cousin and possibly the other podcaster.
So. No, I think the other podcaster is. Like, I think it's kind of confirmed that they're both gay. It's just...
Right.
The cousin who...
You think that's what he's hiding?
I think that's
why he doesn't
hiding,
like him? Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't know what the... So, there's also this thing. Devin Sawa and his twin brother come out. So, Devin Sawa plays twin brothers.
Yeah.
The kid's actual dad, and it's just the two of them. And it's like you can sense Devin Sawa as the main character's dad. It's a very classic trope of like he was probably a really good guy at one point, but then his wife died and he just went to shit. I think you see
pretty
that in
much,
a lot of movies. We just saw it in a movie, right? This woman's father was not a very, like, he was trying his best, but he was like, bad. I don't remember. But
right. Also, we forgot to mention the reference to Halloween. It's literally the opening of this movie is Halloween.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah. We got main kid, his father Devin Sawa. His father Devin Sawa is not happy with the choices he's making because he wants to be an artist, so he collects a bunch of old, like, I'm gonna call them old dolls, so he can make like a big statue thing, like an art piece that I guess his mother was
of
an
himself?
Artist too.
He yeah, looks yeah. like he made a doll of himself, like it was like a reflect, like he made the doll parts look like himself because the hair looked like his hair. Did you catch what the, the doll parts look like?
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to Courtney Love's holes, doll parts.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, so I guess it's the father is more upset that his son is a lot like his mother or whatever, but also not upset, just like sad.
Right.
His brother comes in to visit for dinner which clearly that family is well off, right? And I think it's a pride thing where the kid's dad, the main kid's dad, wants his brother to come over as opposed to the opposite.
Right, yeah.
So you get that tension between the brothers and the sister-in-law who seems nice enough, but then the cousin is, I thought he was nice, right? He was trying to be nice or helpful during the dinner, I think.
And then kind of a shithead one, because it's kind of like his dad was picking on him, and then like he started picking on the main character here, Jack, or whatever his name is. So it's kind of like a cyclical thing there. I think it was kind of a weird, interesting choice to have twins. So you have Devin Sawa in like in a dual role, you know, like which is like kind of odd, but like still kind of appropriate and made it work for the show and stuff like that.
It's he was expensive to hire, so they're like, we're gonna make the most out of you. Now we can't afford to cast an actual dad for this main character, so you're gonna play two parts. We're gonna kill you off.
But good first episode though, right? Like, good.
Some great deaths.
Felt like a Chucky movie, right? It felt like a Child's Play movie.
There is a really neat moment. So he takes the doll with him to school. Which I know sounds like what a stupid thing to do, but when he realizes that he can get the doll for like $3,000, or no, what was it, like $2,200 or something?
I thought like $200.
No, it was in the thousands.
It was more. Okay. I just looked. Yeah.
So that's why he was like, oh shit. So he started taking the doll with him because I think he was mostly afraid his father was going to like take it or whatever.
Yeah.
And then at one point his father was upset and destroyed his sculpture. So of course he took the doll with him so his father wouldn't see it. And there's that part where he's like dissecting the frog, or he's supposed to, and he doesn't want to because he's squeamish. And as soon as like he turns around, Chucky off screen like mutilates the shit out of the frog.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck.
Yeah,
it's really good. I think that's the first moments you start to see Chucky is going to manipulate this kid to get what he wants and still kill people.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Kills his father. So now we only have one Devin Sawa in the series. And actually gets the shit out of him.
So
doesn't a kid die?
No, I think just the father died.
Just the father in the first.
Okay. Probably the cat's dead.
Oh yeah, the cat's definitely dead.
So
the step or the his aunt or whatever is hiding a secret. Chucky finds out because he's hiding in the closet.
There's an allusion to the first kid calling him.
Oh, that's right. The original kid.
The original kid. So we're definitely reaching into the past. So I think so far so good. Yeah, I like it. It works. It works highlight as a TV show.
The show for me? Yeah. I bet you're going to say the same thing. Just go for it.
No, go ahead. Let's see if you have the same one. What was your highlight?
It's when he convinces the kid to be like, play him like a puppet or whatever and doing like voice throwing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seemed like a dream sequence. I thought the kid was having a nightmare because they presented it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
And it's actually fucking happening. I was like, oh my God, they're like tearing this kid apart like this. The bully girl, the popular girl is like shitting all over him and like making him feel like shit and, hey, so how do you feel about the podcast, kid? Now's your chance, blah, blah, blah. Tell his mom, too. Tell him who you are, blah, blah, blah. And then Chucky just starts speaking up and is just, like, ripping everybody apart. And to a point where Chucky pulls out her fucking cell phone. I was like, what's all this, huh? Oh, it's not just pictures from your boyfriend here. It's from this other kid, too. And what's this in the search history? Come on, go ahead and tell him. And the main kid's like, why do I like the smell of my own farts? It's like stupid shit like that. It's really good.
That was a good scene. I liked that scene. And my favorite scene was actually Devin Sawa's death. Was the way he killed him. I thought it was super fun. Yeah, that was super fun and cool. All right. Looks like we have a really fun show to watch. Hopefully, it's on its what, third season now?
Third season. They're three or four episodes away from finishing the season.
Okay, cool. So we'll just kind of continue rolling with this until Yellow Jackets.
Or from whichever comes first.
Or whichever comes first, sure. Alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of Baghead. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Baghead. Coming in at... Oh, I didn't number these. Oh, shit. This will be a surprise for all of us. For Baghead. Coming in at number three. Men continuing to fuck up.
Yeah.
That's what true. The whole thing's about.
Men.
Coming in at number two for Baghead. Lady inherits Jason Voorhees' sister. Right, that's where that bag came from, I'm sure. It's from the first two movies.
Oh, yeah.
And coming in at number one for Baghead, Demon lives in Barbarian House.
Okay, yeah. It's true.
Yeah. It's the same house. We just don't realize that it's 1700 in this
movie. Yeah.
Even though they're wearing modern clothes and reusing modern appliances and vehicles.
Modern English. John, what did you think of Baghead?
Hey, you know, I didn't mind it. I liked it. It's been a minute since we've had just a straightforward horror movie. You know, even with I could be nitpicky about some of the things that didn't make sense about it, but I'm like, I don't think that was super important to the people making the film. They're just this is happening now. Just accept it. I'm like, okay, well, there you go. It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that. A lot of just it's just there to be homage to a lot of different movies. The Shining. Stuff like that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. If it had probably, there's no coincidence here, but it had a little bit of Talk to Me vibes too.
Yeah.
The way they're talking to this demon and stuff, and that there was a time limit to it. But yeah, I completely agree too. This was very surprisingly just a very middle of the road, mild budget, indie budget horror movie. Yeah. Good cast. I really like Peter Mullen and Freya Allen.
Peter Mullen's great in everything. So
I was hoping. I mean, this is not a spoiler, but he dies at the beginning of this movie. It's in the trailer, if anybody sees it. Yeah. It's part of the trailer, so it's not really a spoiler.
The main reason
but
Freya Allen goes to the house.
Yeah. And I was kind of thinking, oh, well, maybe this is just a quick, Peter Mullen was just going to be in it for a little bit, but he's actually kind of in it. He has important scenes in later on in the movie, too, that I was like, okay, cool. He's in it, so enjoyed it on that respect. I mean, aside from that, I wasn't pretty much plays out as you think, if that makes sense.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. There was no, I think I was trying to be real nitpicky about it when the first act or whatever, and then I was like, they're not even explaining this deed. They kind of gave this lady a background a little bit, but then they're also basically we don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's just like she's a witch or something, right? She's a witch who can,
yeah, or she doesn't claim to be a witch, or I don't know.
Yeah, and basically there's a bag-headed shape-shifting creature in the cellar of a bar.
Yeah, that I think the bar was built on top of the dungeon that they sealed her off in.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, did I hear that wrong in saying that she voluntarily wanted to be down there just so people would fuck off? And somebody pulled her out?
Maybe. I mean, that kind of goes against the end, but
yeah. But a lot of things go against the end. There are a lot of things that didn't make any sense.
Yeah. I was actually surprised the way... Who's the actor here? The other guy, Neil. Jeremy Irvine? Yeah. His character I thought was interesting because he does like a little... There's a little twist to his character. You think that he's like this lovesick husband who lost his wife, but there's more to his character.
Yeah.
Which I thought was well played, well done. It was a good twist to this type of character. And I thought Freya Allen, she's of course like in The Witcher. And I think this is like maybe like her first kind of solo starring thing, and I really enjoyed her too. I thought she carried the movie well.
Got Ruby Barker, and she's like, hey, good on Alia for putting a person of color in the movie. So hopefully you don't kill her off.
Hopefully she learns all the information that we need to learn about it and doesn't die.
Doesn't die, and it's not even anything. You're like, oh well, you know, she didn't do anything wrong. Hopefully that's not what we end up finding out later.
Yeah. No, of course not. Yeah.
But let's keep all the other Caucasian people alive.
Yeah. What did you think of the any? There weren't any like particularly like good scares or anything, but there's nice pace to the movie.
Yeah.
Atmosphere.
It's fast.
Yeah.
Like reminiscent of, was it Boogeyman? Is that the one I'm thinking of? With the one with Anthony Starr and
That was Cobwebs.
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 Yeah. One of the two. The same. I felt like I had the similar sort of vibe where, you know, kind of midway through, I gave up trying to connect dots because I was like, I don't think that's what these people care about. I think they just want to make a horror movie. All right. And I think I was too harsh on Cobwebs, to be honest, in retrospect.
That movie has really, not to go off topic, but like tones. It's like the tone of it was all over the place.
Yeah.
Which kind of like pulled it, in my opinion, back from, because you didn't know what type of movie we were in.
Yeah, that's true.
This one I think has a pretty consistent tone. It's pretty like, I don't know, like if you could just run into this movie back in the day on cable, it would be like, oh yeah, this movie's okay.
It's one of those good random VHS rentals, like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, good poster, Baghead, good title. Interesting title. So
speaking of, I think the best random VHS rental I ever picked up also started Mr. Mullen, and it was session nine.
Yeah, same here. That was also one movie I don't think I knew anything about.
I had no clue what it was about. I think it wasn't until a couple of weeks later I found out that that guy also did The Machinist, right?
Yeah. So I remember renting it when he came out, but hearing about it, but then surprising how good it was. That it was one of those where it's like, I had heard that it had come out, I saw it available to rent, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll check it out. Because I wanted to watch something kind of scary. And then I was like, oh my God, this is like one of the best horror movies I think I've ever seen. So it was a really pleasant surprise. But yeah, it's in that realm, yeah, of movies where it's like surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Not Session 9 level. Oh, this is a gem of a movie.
No, it's not.
Like, I could show this movie to my mother and I think it'll be okay. Does that make sense?
I feel like this movie could have been a segment in Cabinet of Curiosities.
Right. Yeah. Had enough mythology, thought through mythology, enough intrigue, enough of a plot, enough of a scare, you know, well directed in its action and direction. Nothing spectacular, right? But just enough there. Believability, good actors. interesting premise. Like, I think I found the way they interacted with the creature, because the way they interact with the creature is they basically like sit it down and then they talk to it for 2 minutes. Basically talk to me. That's kind of like, without, except, that's just a comparison. I don't think that they're trying to rip it off or whatever, no, but coincidence.
And talk to me, at least it was like an inanimate object that was cursed. This is the whole demon that has this, to like swallow whatever the fuck trinket that belongs to somebody.
Cool detail. Yeah.
Yeah. Like fun little thing that, well, I mean, where do we start with this? It's Peter Mullen is writing a letter and he's upset. The dude, Neil, is trying to convince him to let him in to go talk to the lady.
Mm.
And he's like, no, you know, basically if you know any better, you'll just leave it alone. And then it's Peter Mullen is trying to set the place on fire. And then it kind of just shows him crawling into like a hallway on fire, and right when he just dies, the fire goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little confusing, but
I think they kind of left it. Well, we know that he recorded some tapes for his daughter, so.
But it's also, you get to see it a little bit later again. You get to see what happened.
Right, right. It's kind of fleshed out what exactly is going on.
Oh, and also, our main actress is perpetually broke for whatever reason. I'm not sure why. Because her mom was sick, I guess?
I can relate. It was not like, really.
I get this, but it also sounds like she just... I mean... It really felt like, well, no, I was just like, oh, like, I'm having trouble. And her girlfriend, her best friend, her, like, whatever she
best
was
friend.
Supposed to be.
Best friend. Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know. The conversations, I'm like, okay. Like, whatever. But then that didn't seem to matter because it's going to cut to this girl's becoming selfish. Because she's finding a quick way to become rich. Like, what, she got evicted from her place at the beginning.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah, I don't have any money. And then it sounded like she said, you know, because my art's just not selling. I'm like, oh my God, I can't stand people like this.
It's like we needed that scene where like maybe she's like a waitress in this really busy like restaurant or something. And then like the customers are being rude to her and her boss slaps her ass and she's making no money. Like, we needed a little more empathy for her. It wasn't enough, huh?
But you got that exactly what you're saying via a conversation
that they're she's just having. Walking in the street. Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like, well, he also assaulted you. She's like, yeah, that's right. So I'm guessing they didn't have enough money for that.
Yeah. They couldn't redress the bar.
No.
Which actually surprisingly had a nice character to it.
Yeah.
I would say the exterior did not look good. In my, like, it looked like just an empty set. It didn't look like, that was my only critique. There's still a couple of critiques that I want to kind of point out. Is that, like, I thought this part is more of a nitpicky thing where it's like you have a really cool, like, design for the bar, but then, like, if you just look around, there's, like, nothing there. It's like, isn't this supposed to be, like, London or British, you know? London, so wouldn't it be busy? There'd be a lot of people. There was like no people around because of the budget of the movie. There was no like real scale to what was going around there. But I'm sure that's more of a budget thing. So just that's a nitpicky thing. My other thing is the motivation of the creature. Like, I really didn't understand the motivation, what the thing wanted in the end.
I couldn't catch that either. I didn't understand.
Like, maybe we can, I'll kind of explain more of what that means in spoilers. But yeah, the motivation of this creature in the, like, its motivation and stuff like that. They even try to like Kaiser Soze Sixth Sense things too, which was like, didn't make sense to me. So it was a little, that was a miss. The motivation of the thing. They have a cool premise. They have a cool idea, but they're not really like any real stakes.
Because there's also a lot of Peter Mullen kept mentioning like your sole job now, because your name is on the deed, is to keep this thing from like going into the world or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you can't just like leave. You can't just like lock this place up and leave because you'll get sick, and she still sends curses and they float up like ghosts through the floorboards and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, sure.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of words being thrown around like that. So I'm guessing that they are bound together.
Right.
But I don't know if this is just, she's been there for centuries, so she just wants to leave, or I don't know.
Yeah. No. It's kind of, there's no clear, like I said, I think no through line as to what the motivation, why it's haunting this place. You know, why isn't it run by the bar? I almost feel like this, again, this could be a budgetary thing, because there's a lot of like tell instead of show. There's a lot of things that are just kind of scripted, like worded, instead of like showing us. And one of the things that I kind of maybe wanted to see was maybe her like kind of like new, like gets like makes a lot more money out of this situation. She never really kind of gets a handle on how to manipulate this to her gain, aside from this one guy, right? Yeah. That seems to want to pay an excessive amount of money for it, which I understand why that character is there and why, you know, where it ends up leading and stuff like that makes sense. But it's almost as like I almost wanted to see her do well and succeed and like the bars like pop in or something. Like there's like very little, I don't know, it was a choice to make the character be kind of bad at this.
Yeah. I guess that's what the whole setup of the beginning is too. Like she's just bad at life. It's yeah. Like you, I never felt for her because everything that came out of her mouth, like I said, which again, I consider myself an artist too, but I'm not actively trying to only do art to survive from that. I'm in a industry that's affiliated with it, but it's not, I'm not creating anything, you know, I'm not expecting to make money off of creating stuff. I'm not that good. But yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I guess that's supposed to be it. Like you're not supposed to be too sad about this lady's life, I guess. I don't know.
I feel like that was kind of, she's a little, then would you describe her as like a passive character then, right? She wasn't particularly good or involved or bad at anything. Does that kind of make sense?
No, yeah. In fact, I think I was more curious about Barker's character as opposed to hers.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the other guys end up being more interesting.
Yeah.
Like, the Neil character, the Jeremy Irvine character is more interesting, or even like Peter Mullen's character too is more interesting. I almost feel like I should just stay with him longer. But yeah, unfortunately, I think her character is like, we never really grow any like sympathy for her or anything. Like she's not our way into this story. She's a little mute in her characterization.
And they set it up. They set up what I kind of assumed was going to happen at the end, because she's got one friend. That's it. There's no connection to anyone else. And they were, because are they in England? I know they're probably in the United Kingdom for sure, but like, I don't know. Because she travels from someplace to someplace else and she has to like travel a long way.
It seems like it's just pretty nondescript England. It's like old pub, you know. I think it would be harder if this was like a functioning club, because it's like run down and nobody, it's not open anymore.
Yeah.
So I think
or like it never existed. That'd be cool too. And then Carlo Gugino comes out and turns into a raven and flies away.
Spoiler. Okay. I don't know. Do you want to move over to spoilers now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast.
because we're about to go into
spoilers.
Her head's not actually a bag.
Spoilers.
Till next time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that to me, the motivation of the creature, whatever, baghead creature, the fact that it wants to leave, it's like, why is it that creatures want to be free? Like, what what's so exciting about being free and going out, living your life? It's like the troubles of living your life as a human. Like, what's the point of that? I don't know. It just seems like...
I guess also, so this creature was forced down there, right?
I thought she winningly was a witch who could shapeshift and do all this shit.
That's what I thought too. I mean, the story was very confusing. It almost felt like they kept going back and forth, going like, but they also said that this was what probably what happened. It's like, okay. Like, I see what they're trying to do here, but like, it's also like, then don't, this feels like a waste of time watching this segment of the movie.
They literally say that. Like, her friend does all this research and finds the old home, finds the owners, huge dump of information to try to help her, like, get out of this lease or whatever. And when the creature eats the whatever and we see the original, or maybe the original people of it, they explain kind of, like, what's going on, and then they just say, like, oh, no, this... why did you bring me back or something? Like, she's already here or something. Like, I don't know. They just, the rules were fast and loose, and they were trying to create very kind of like clunky mythology as well.
Because even when they bring back Peter, he is, so they have to put on like an egg timer for like 2 minutes, right? Because that's about as much time as you get with the actual person's spirit.
Right.
Before the thing takes over, you know, a la Talk to Me, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as soon as the 2 minute mark pops, it's like very obvious that the demon is taking over, because like the eyes turn black and then starts to say nasty shit. But for some reason, every single character is just like, why are you talking like this? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
They laid everybody out the went over rules. The 2 minutes.
They laid out the goddamn rules. Like, put the timer in front of you, for fuck's sake. Stop putting the egg timer behind you on a stool so you can't tell what's going on.
But that was frustrating, because every character knew the rules. Every character went over the 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Each time. So there's like no suspense. Like, nobody, they just kind of, I don't know. It's kind of just clunky and not thought out, I guess.
Yeah. And then, so she brings back her dad. And right away, he's like, oh, no, why'd you bring me back? And then he's trying to explain, but he's like not, you know, he's trying his best to say things, but he also wants to say sorry. Mm-hmm. And then the 2 minute thing goes off and he starts to say like really horrible shit to her. But then I was like, what are the rules? Because then he came back for like another 10 seconds to be like, oh, I just wanted one more moment.
Look
to
at your face.
I love you. Look at your face and blah, blah, blah. And don't bring me back. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to like the nugget of the idea of like the communicating with the people that passed away or whatever. It's a cool idea, right? But it's like, it's not, again, it's not like seen through in a fun, interesting way. It's not explored in the most like fully explored way. You know, like.
And is it me or was? So our guy Neil ends up being like a really bad person.
He ends up being the bad guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that blames, I think it's mostly like women, right? I think he also like, I think they kind of allude to him killing his mother. Is that what I gathered? Even though the mother, I thought, committed suicide and drowned.
I think part of that is that like you could tell that the relationship with his mother was sort of his distrustful relationship with his mother also was the catalyst for him not being able to have a bad relationship with his wife, and then like not trusting her and then drugging her, and then
she was pregnant.
She was pregnant and died.
She ran out because she was afraid of her husband, drove her car and crashed.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, and he just wanted answers because he was like, you were seeing somebody else and she wasn't. She just wanted to like not be with him.
Be harassed by his douchebag.
And he could not fucking get that through his head. And then he pretends to help What's-Her-Face at the end because, you know, this totally surprised me, but Barker's character, what was her name? Katie. And now has all the answers we need and is desperately trying to get a hold of Iris, who had drank an entire bottle of whiskey by herself and passed out on the floor.
There, John. don't.
No, I'm calling her weak. I'd still be hanging out. No, I was kidding.
She can't hang, bro.
yeah, it's like what sucks is Katie's character is like desperately trying to find her, tries to call her, but her phone's like volume level's too low, and she's literally like a room or two down that she just did not check. Like, she did not bother to look at all the rooms because she heard the phone like in the basement, right, or something like that.
I think part of it is that she's not sleeping because she's having nightmares because the baghead is like creatures like invading her mind because they're like sharing a consciousness or something, right, or haunting her.
But
that's sort of the Katie, excuse as to why these things are happening.
Yeah, but Katie hears like that she's in the basement, or she hears thumping or something, or right, why does she run down there? I forgot why, but it was like, oh well, you know, what are you supposed to do? I think she was going to check the rooms, like in one of the rooms where Iris was actually in, passed out on the floor. But before she was going to get that far, she heard her in the basement. She's like, oh no, Iris, what are you doing?
Didn't she go there because she wanted to? Oh fuck, I don't remember. The voice thing happened later when Iris is looking for Katie. But I don't remember why. I thought she went down there because she was trying to use the baghead creature to get the correct information.
That's right. And she did get the correct information, but because she is not the keeper or the gatekeeper or whatever. Yeah, she fucked herself. Like she
died. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when Iris finds Katie's body, even though she thinks she's helping Katie get out of there. And she's like, you know what, no more of this, I need help. And then Neil comes out lying, and what was it, like, hey, put me on the deed, I'll let you be free or whatever, but you have to let me see my wife for as long as I want or whatever. Like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, something she can't deliver. And like, the baghead is like knows England home laws, so she's like, no, you can't do that.
you can't just do that, man, come on.
She has a lot of time in her heads, so she reads a lot of like home ownership. So how to transfer deeds and stuff.
It's like, listen, young Neil, they ain't no squatter rights in the UK, I'm telling you right now. What ultimately ends up happening is Neil is going to try to convince Iris to just give him, sign over the deed, but she hears all that, so he chases her around and decides to kill her. Which, something that did surprise me was he did kill her. I thought for sure Baghead was eventually just going to kill her, pretending to be like, oh, the day saved or whatever, and then there's a big reveal, but no.
Right.
What?
Neil kills Iris.
Yeah.
Which... she eats the baghead, eats the phone, and then becomes the on the lease and the creature, so she's free now or something, which doesn't make sense, but sure.
Because the baghead also ate Peter Mullen's watch, so technically she would have been on the lease for that moment. You know,
I don't know. I mean, I trust the baghead knows the leasing laws and stuff, so she probably knew what she could eat and not eat.
I was chalking it up to like, well, okay, so she takes over the deed because she's the same person now, even though Iris's dead body's on the ground in front of them. And maybe it's because Iris was the last in that lineage or whatever, that family. But I was like, but that doesn't make any sense. Like, they couldn't find anybody else. But that didn't make any sense because when Peter Mullen killed himself, right?
Did he kill himself? Because it seemed like he had brought his wife back, too. He was speaking to his wife a lot.
Yeah, but he was, like, also trying to just set everything on fire and, like, he was going to kill himself, too. That's why he gave the suicide note tape thing, whatever, and saying, like, oh, if you're seeing this,
in case he couldn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he didn't know his daughter was going to be able to get caught up in this, right? I think was the idea.
I think he knew. That's okay. What he made the tape for.
Yeah, it's true.
Come on, yeah.
It's just, there's no way that she's like the last in this like family. Like, how do they narrow down this family that small? There's got to be somewhere in the world that's like, oh, I'm next on the lease, the deed now. I guess you belong to me. Maybe that's what Baghead 2 is going to be about. Baghead goes and is like, ah, shit, you're the new person. Well, I'll sign this.
Double stamp it. Got a double stamp.
I'm also a certified notoriety.
Notarizer. Yeah, I don't know. Like, my big thing is like, okay, great, it's free into the world. Who cares?
Yeah.
I could just see it being like totally inept and trying to, because this thing was like around since like the whatever 17th, 18th century, right? And now it's out in the modern times, and it's probably gonna see a car and be like, wah, have a heart attack. It's never seen anything like that before.
Well, no, I think it is aware of things like that whenever it like takes over the form of whatever, right?
Well, it did eat a phone. Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, it wasn't scared of a phone.
It knew what a car was to fuck with Neil.
That's true, yeah. To haunt them. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Sorry, enough about all Baghead. You want to just rate it now?
Sure.
What are your thoughts? Okay. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give Baghead 5.5 sexy bagheady bones.
Yeah, I was gonna do like a 6. I don't think it was bad. It's perfectly fine. It's fine, despite all the fun we had it now with about the plot. But like, so it's fine. It works as a movie. Yeah, okay. Like these things that we were talking about. It's because you and I are like rehashing it, so it's all the little plot holes are coming up. But I enjoyed it enough.
But it was seriously trivial.
it's true. Yeah, I'll give it a 6. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.